turn around.
It's a little note too. He saved paper. Right?
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our committee this Monday, June 1st, 2015. Representative Barbara Smith Warner's birthday for the record.
That's right.
Excellent. We are very happy today to be working four Senate bills, and then we will be having an informational hearing on a program that's very important to all of us who sit at this dais, which is the Connect Oregon program. So I thank you all for being here today. Our first order of business will be to open a work session on Senate Bill 271A. Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We hear this measure on May 18th. Senate Bill 271A modifies the standards for the state safety oversight program for rail fixed guideway systems. It has an emergency clause, so it becomes effective upon signature by the governor. There is no amendment to the bill. It has a minimal fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and the Senate floor vote was 30-0, Madam Chair.
Okay. Vice Chair Davis.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 271A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Davis moves Senate Bill 271A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Seeing none, clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Bentz?
Aye.
Representative Bliley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Davis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gorsuch?
Yes.
Chair McKeon?
Aye. Motion carries. Do we have a carrier for this bill?
Well, Representative Hack was telling me she just has been dying. To
Is that true, Representative?
Nice. Or did I mishear you?
May we assign this bill to you?
I'm happy to carry it.
Thank you. Representative Hack will carry.
Nice
for
job.
You.
I'm going to regret
Chair,
that.
For you.
I'm going to regret that.
And I will close the hearing, the work session on Senate Bill 271A, and open a work session on Senate Bill 463A. Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This measure we heard also on May 18th. It allows a vehicle to use window tinting that is darker than otherwise allowed if the registered owner or person in the registered owner's household has a certain physical condition, provided that the person shows a police officer a prescription or letter on letterhead from a physician or optometrist. The measure also provides for dismissing court cases for the same offense. There's no amendment to the measure, has no fiscal revenue impact. The Senate floor vote was 21-9, but this measure would go to the floor should the committee vote it out, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Vice Chair Davis.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 463A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Davis recommends Senate Bill 463A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objection? Seeing none, call the roll, please.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Representative Bentz?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Vice Chair Davis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gorsuch?
Yes.
Chair McKeon?
Aye. The motion carries. Do we have a carrier for this bill?
I can do it.
Okay. Vice Chair Davis will carry. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 463A and open a work session on Senate Bill 878.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're sensing a theme. This bill, we heard all four of these bills on the same day of May 18th, so I'll dispense with saying that for the last two bills. This bill changed the requirement for operating a moped or motorcycle while allowing a person to stand or stand astride while operating the vehicle. The measure has no fiscal or revenue impact. There's no amendments to the bill. It passed the Senate on a 24-3 vote. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Vice Chair Gorsuch.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 878 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Gorsuch moves Senate Bill 878 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Clerk.
Representative Bentz?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gorsuch?
Yes.
Vice Chair Davis?
Aye.
Chair McKeon?
Aye. Motion carries. And again, we need a carrier.
I'll do it.
Representative Lively will carry. Thank you.
I ride my motorcycle in that day.
Good. Wear your leathers, too.
Wear your helmet.
Visual.
Wear your helmet.
Yeah, wear your helmet. That's right.
Especially if you're standing astride.
Especially that.
You know, it would be interesting to ask the chief clerk if you wore leathers, if that's appropriate attire on the floor.
We could try.
Yes.
Or ask or just do it.
So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 878 and open a work session on Senate Bill 948A. Mr. Brennan, this may be our last one of the year.
I think it is, Madam Chair.
Senate Bill 948A permits the Department of Transportation to issue vehicle registration plates from the regular series for use on county-owned vehicles as opposed to the plates for the specially designed government series. It declares emergency would take effect upon passage and signature by the governor. There's no amendment. It has a no fiscal impact and a minimal revenue impact and can move through the Senate on a vote of 29-1, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Vice Chair Gorsuch.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 948A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Gorsuch moves Senate Bill 948A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? Seeing none, Clerk, will you call the roll?
Representative Blatley?
Aye.
Representative Dentz?
Aye.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Representative Pack?
Aye.
Vice Chair Davis?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gorsuch?
Yes.
Chair McKeown?
Aye. Motion carries.
I'll take it.
Vice Chair Gorsuch, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 948A. And I will open an informational hearing on the Connect Oregon program. As you all know that are involved in transportation, this program has been around for five cycles now and is entering its sixth cycle. The governor has in his budget $58.6 million targeted for this project. If I think we all can agree that when we were at the $100 million mark, that was a happy day. But we still have money in the Connect Oregon budget, and we're happy to support that. This project has been so well-received over the last five cycles that I'm delighted to have an informational hearing today. We are proposing an amendment to the Connect Oregon bill, which is down in rules waiting. I believe it will be heard on Wednesday if everything goes as planned. And we brought together a work group a couple of weeks ago to address some issues that had come up and were being discussed around the building and outside of the building with stakeholders about changes that have occurred over the last five cycles of the Connect Oregon program. And we brought a group of legislators together and met a couple of times with ODOT and talked about the original intent of the program, where the program has changed. And it has changed, and it has changed in a positive fashion, but it also has changed in a way that we wanted to readdress some issues that have become part of the conversation. In the last session, we added bike and pedestrian projects to the mix. If you look at the amendment that's posted on OLIS, and I believe it is a dash three that came up today, you'll notice just some small tweaks that we would like to have added to the bill. One of the things we noticed right off the bat is if you look at the definition of a transportation project, a marine was left out. So we added the word marine to the definition of a transportation project. In the bill, multimodal is the description that is used, so those will be changed to Connect Oregon, and it's House Bill 2274. We are proposing that because they have not been very effective and there have not been very many applications, that the project use grants and not loans, so we have taken the word loans out. We've added a description that a proposed transportation project have a useful life expectancy that offers maximum benefit to the state. One of the conversations that is occurring is the durability factor, the fact that we're funding things that may not have as long a lifespan as the program had originally intended. So we've added a wording that says useful life expectancy that offers maximum benefit with the goal that ODOT will move forward projects that have some durability. You'll notice in the bill it refers to $42 million for Connect Oregon. That was the last session's number, either in the omnibus bill, which is 50-30, or in the ODOT policy option package. Whichever one of those bills move forward, it will include the governor's proposed budget figure, which is 58.6. So we wanted to draw attention to that. And one of the other issues that was discussed was the issue of conflicts of interest. And we have asked ODOT, when they put together the final selection committee, once the projects have moved through from the local area commissions on transportation up through the selection process, which was a very good and clean process, we want it to continue on with that spirit. And so we've asked that the director of ODOT, when he puts that final selection committee, have a mind towards making sure that people who have either significant financial potential gain or who have a project that is coming through the process for final selection be excluded from that last round. And we thought it may just tighten that up a little bit and make the process a little cleaner. So those are basically the amendments that you're going to see when you look at 2274-3. And I'm just delighted today to have a number of people who have such an interest in this program that they're willing to come and spend some time with us and testify. I believe we have nine or ten people who are on the docket to testify today. And I'd like to open the committee by bringing Craig Campbell up, who represents the Oregon Transportation Forum, to tee this up and let us get started on something that I think we all feel is very important. So thank you for being here, Mr. Campbell.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell, and I'm here wearing two hats, the first being that as the president of the Oregon Transportation Forum. I had initially intended on introducing myself, shamelessly attempting to curry favor from Representative Gorsuch by doing it in Klingon. However,
we stand
I found
ready.
That my translation and my pronunciation were sufficiently bad that I did not want to inadvertently insult any Klingons who might be listening to the hearing. With that, we have some folks who are going to be representing every transportation mode for you today to provide you with input about their perspectives on Connect Oregon and, of course, also the suggested changes that the task group put together. In addition to that, they'll also be talking about their specific modal and how their modes interface with Connect Oregon. And if it would be all right with you, I'll go ahead and start off by talking from a motorist perspective, unless you'd like to bring up other folks for a panel before that occurs.
No, that would be fine. But I do want to add one more thing that I neglected to say when I was doing my opening remarks. There's one other change I didn't yellow highlight, so I missed it in the amendment. And it has to do with the match that would be required for projects. It was historically at 20%, and we've moved that up to 30%. And I forgot to mention that that was a proposed change also. So please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for that addition. And I know that there are going to be some of the folks who are going to be talking to you. As I said, we have every mode, plus we have cities and counties who are going to be talking to you today. From a AAA perspective, we predominantly deal with highway expenditures, highway taxation, and funding that portion of the transportation system. However, if you don't deal with all of the modes that are available, then that highway system cannot work to its greatest effect. I know that you've added marine, and I'm thankful for that, because if you don't have a transportation system that includes all of the modes of transportation, then you're really not dealing with the way we would like to deal with transportation, which is as an entire system rather than a series of subsets or modal hubs. We'd rather deal with it inclusively. In addition, talking about the changes around durability, we've been having a lot of discussions about what do you do with your transportation dollar? Do you bond those dollars, or do you use the existing tax flow in order to pay for things as they come along? If you're going to use a program like Connect Oregon where you're bonding, it's critically important that you get a good return on that investment by investing in things that are going to last a while, so that you're not wasting the funding stream by expending it on something that's not going to pan out. So I think that's a very good change. Now, of course, the governor's recommended budget for Connect Oregon of $58.6 million is shy of what the Oregon Transportation Forum was hoping for in the area of $100 million. But quite frankly, this program is so important. That's a good amount of money to be moving forward with this time. One of the things that AAA feels very strongly about is that we have not been able to crack the how do you fund non-highway expenditures in Oregon. Connect Oregon, for the last several sessions, has provided us with the clearest, most robust, and greatest hope for developing a kernel for what will eventually, we hope, be a dedicated funding source for non-highway modes. In addition to that, I wanted to comment that we still don't have a solution for dealing with the funding of operation of those modes. And so that's a nut we still have to crack. But this has been one that has been tried, true, and tested, and certainly deserves the legislature's support to continue on. Connect Oregon, no matter what ends up happening with the rest of the transportation funding discussions, Connect Oregon is a critical piece to the package as a whole. And so from that perspective, I would strongly urge you to go forward with the changes that you have suggested for Connect Oregon and move forward Connect Oregon as well. And thank you for the work of those who spent your time doing that. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Campbell? Yes, Representative Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Campbell, I'm just really thrilled that you decided to show up today with hair.
I don't think we're going to follow that up with a question.
Yeah.
He cut all his hair off. I didn't even recognize him. He was shaved, and now he's all
got it. He grows back very quickly.
Yeah. Very quickly. Yeah, some of us would disagree with that. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell, for being here.
Thank you very much.
Next, I would like to call up Mr. Russell, Mr. Hagedorn, and Ms. I'm not going to say this correctly.
Susie Lassen.
Lassen. Thank you. Susie Lassen from the Port of Portland. That doesn't look like it sounds, so please indulge me. I have that happen to me all the time, so. And please, in any order you choose.
Oh, okay. Chair McEwen, members of the committee, my name is Susie Lassen, and I'm the Senior Manager of Transportation and Land Use Policy for the Port of Portland, and I also chair the Oregon Freight Advisory Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on the aviation component of the Connect Oregon program today. I'm going to focus my comments primarily on that mode. The legislature, upon passage of the first Connect Oregon program, directed that investment should reduce transportation costs for Oregon businesses, provide access to jobs and sources of labor, provide economic benefits, provide critical transportation linkages, and have projects, frankly, that are ready to go. There have been five cycles of Connect Oregon, and I've had the pleasure of being involved in all of them. This program has evolved over the past decade, and aviation projects have consistently received around 20% of the overall funds and been able to actually leverage between 50 and 70% additional dollars into the state as a result, primarily from federal sources. This illustrates the value of having local dollars available to attract federal and or private investment, and this is critically important for states like Oregon without access to as much capital as some other surrounding states potentially have. And a fundamental goal of Connect Oregon has been to attract economic investment or attract external capital. I want to touch briefly on a few of the proposed amendments. The proposed increase in match from 20 to 30%, particularly for the aviation projects, I would say in most cases will not create a hurdle for those projects because those projects have outside funding sources that they are trying to attract or leverage. And so I think this is consistent when you look at many of the projects, what they've been able to leverage is about almost 50%. The proposal to remove the loan option, I have mixed emotions about that. It's consistent with the way the program has operated, as there have been very few instances where the loans have been used. But that's really likely because there hasn't been a real incentive to use a loan. Loans are only applicable for certain types of projects that generate a specific return where you can pay that back. But in competition for particular projects, you don't get any credit for going for a loan, so it makes sense to apply for a grant, if you will. In terms of the proposed changes to definition of a transportation vehicle, aviation projects have not included many, if any, vehicles. Rather, common aviation project components are runway extensions, rehabilitation, cargo facilities, terminal expansions, and fueling infrastructure. And then my written testimony will include a number of very specific projects that we think have been excellent examples around the state of investments by Connect Oregon in aviation facilities. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
I think we'll finish the panel and then open for questions.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations, and unfortunately, I don't speak Klingon.
Oh, man.
So I'll have to address you in English today.
Thank you.
You may wonder why the Oregon Trucking Associations is testifying in support of Connect Oregon. Since projects that qualify for funding under our state highway fund do not qualify under Connect Oregon. There's really two major reasons why we support this Connect Oregon and have supported everyone in the past. On the freight side, the purpose of the freight transportation system is to support the economy. The better that transportation system is, the more it attracts economic activity. As we grow the economy, it's all of the freight modes will benefit because we operate as an intermodal system. It most frequently takes more than one freight mode to move a shipment from point A to point B. So we're working together, and the stronger that the system is, the better off we all are from the freight perspective. So it's all based on economics. On the passenger side, if we can effectively fund passenger projects, then we can free up highway capacity. As I tell Mr. Campbell all the time, if we can get his cars off the road and out of the way of my trucks, I'm a lot happier. So I've reviewed the amendments that you're considering for this round of Connect Oregon, and I think they're very appropriate for a mature program. You're making some fairly minor changes, some tweaks around the edges, and appropriate ones, I think. So with that, I would like to say that I hope that this is the first of two transportation funding bills that you consider this session. And that concludes my testimony. Thank you very much.
Very subtle, Mr. Russell.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair McKeown, committee members. I'm Drew Hagedorn, appearing today on behalf of the Oregon Transit Association. We're the industry association for transit agencies throughout the state and communities, both large and small, urban and rural. We are longtime and strong supporters of the Connect Oregon program, as I've discussed in front of this committee before. Transit doesn't receive a large amount of dedicated state funding sources for its operations or for its capital improvements. We get a little bit of the cigarette tax, the so-called lawnmower fund, provides a little bit of resources for us. So having a Connect Oregon program to meet some of our capital needs, which are significant throughout the state, is just of paramount importance for our folks. Not only allows us to leverage our local resources, but also to pull down some of those federal matching resources, which otherwise we'd leave on the table. So we're big proponents of the program. We too have taken a look at the proposed amendments, and I think our views are in concert with what Mr. Russell said and also with what Mr. Campbell said. So with that, I conclude and, again, urge the committee to support the package and thank you for all your time and effort on it.
All right. Thank you. We have questions for this panel.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, I would like to call up Martin Callery and Lana Butterfield and Garrick Kransky, please. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. In any order you choose.
For the record, Chair McKeown, members of the committee, I'm Martin Callery. I'm Chief Commercial Officer of the Oregon International Port of Coos Bay. However, today I'm here representing the Oregon Public Ports Association, which are 23 different ports in the coastal and river regions of the state. I've had the privilege of being involved in the Connect Oregon program since it was first implemented in 2005, and I think its success is evident when you look at the projects that have been built. I'm going to speak specifically to port projects. There have been terminal rehabilitation projects at places like the Port of Portland, Port of Morrow, Port of Umatilla, Port of Newport, and the Port of St. Helens. And there have been intermodal projects that have happened at many of those same ports that really exemplify what the program should be and is about, and that's making the intermodal connections that create a much more efficient and cost-effective transportation system. In addition, there are some smaller ports that have benefited, such as the Port of Siuslaw and the Port of Garibaldi, with a project that will support the commercial fishing fleets operating on the Central Oregon coast. But I think it's that broad spectrum that has made this program very effective, and I realize it's probably premature to try and assess the success of it, but I think if you had an instrument to do that, you would see improvements in the entire system based on what has happened at Oregon's ports. One comment I will make on some of the amendments: I realize that the 30% cost share will create some hardships, but at the same time, I think it also makes applicants work harder and really identify funding partners that can come to the table and present a very viable project. So don't have a lot more to say. I support Connect Oregon. I think it's essential for the economic viability of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lana Butterfield. I'm here representing the Oregon Rail Users League, or OREL. When I sent the amendments to our OREL members, most folks in our membership are okay with them. They think that you've done a great job. Thank you very much for working on the amendments. I do have one group, however, that I said I would put on the record their concerns, and that is the smaller members in regard to the match issue. I've given you a letter from Bruce Carswell, who is in charge of Oregon Eastern Railroad, a very small railroad. What my smaller members are telling me is the greater the match, the smaller the project. There have been some really big rail projects which have helped the whole state. For example, Union Pacific and Port of Portland have had some of those. But there are other smaller, more rural projects that have been very helpful to their communities. I point to Mount Hood Railroad, whose track was just, it went like this after it got washed out, and there is no way that they could have on their own gotten funds to repair that railroad without Connect Oregon, and they would have had a much more difficult time with the 30% match. What OREL would like to suggest either now or in the future is that you allow a little leeway for excellent projects that where they can't quite make the 30%. You could use a certain threshold, for example, such as population size, rural location, amount of applicants' income, average salary of area residents, unemployment over statewide average, or some other such marker. We think that might give a little more help to some of the smaller railroads. I also said that I would bring up something that I believe is not a problem, but I said I would put it on the record, and that is under the definition of vehicle, does that allow for a switching engine or some other larger railroad need to be considered under Connect Oregon? What I've found out from ODOT's lawyer is that if it is not something that is pertains to a public highway, then it's okay. So I think that we're okay on that, but I just did say I would bring it up. Finally, I want to give you an example from this year's projects of a project that has been very successful locally, and we invited a number of you to come and tour this project, and some of you did that. We had about a dozen legislators come, and that is TAR Terminals. TAR was located in North Portland. It was a couple of miles away from the railroad yard, and they had to make a number of truck trips to transport hazardous materials. They sell solvents and other materials that are used in making soy sauce or computer chips or brewing of craft beer, that kind of thing, all kinds of uses. And they provide a very useful service for the residents of the West Coast, because all of the manufacturers of these kind of chemicals are on the East Coast. And they've tried twice, and they finally got their project, and they were just delighted. It was a $9 million total project. Connect Oregon provided that little push to get them over the edge. I believe that they got a $1.4 million match. They have 40 employees at an average salary of $70,000 a year, which are pretty good wages, and they could have moved their headquarters to Arizona, but because of Connect Oregon, they didn't. They stayed here in Oregon. So that's just one example of a smaller project that has, I think, meant a lot to this state. So we want to say thank you to you for this program. It's been very, very helpful to our state.
Thank you.
Chair McEwen, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Garrett Kransky, and I'm here representing the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. I also serve on the board of the Oregon Transportation Forum, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and speak in support of the Connect Oregon program. In regards to House Bill 2274 and the Dash 3 amendments that we've walked through, I want to echo the comments of my colleague Bob Russell, who said that these look like good amendments to a mature program, and we can certainly support them, I think. Absent deeper review with smaller communities who have put forward applications, I would flag that the change to a 30% match may also represent a funding hurdle or obstacle to some of those smaller communities, but I haven't had a chance to fully review that with potential project applicants. So just something that is a small flag for me, but certainly nothing that would bring us to real concern. Just want to put it out there. Connect Oregon has been an incredibly successful program from our perspective, especially since the inclusion of bicycle and pedestrian projects among those eligible. We think it's critically important that as we look for new ways to fund transportation projects in our state that are not eligible to receive state gas taxes and vehicle administration fees, that it makes perfect sense to maintain eligibility for all modes, including bicycle and pedestrian. In the Connect Oregon 5 process, there were over $125 million worth of requests for only a $42 million program. So I think it makes sense that we would strive to at least achieve the number in the governor's budget, the $58.6 million. Obviously, $100 million would have been much better, but we understand that we're doing all that we can, so thank you. Just a couple quick examples of some of the great projects, multimodal projects that were funded on the bicycle and pedestrian side in the last round. The city of Tualatin was given funding for its Tualatin River Greenway Trail and Gap Completion Project, which connects residential, commercial, and public facilities. TriMet was awarded the funding for the West Side Bike and Ride Project, which includes some improved bike parking and access at multiple West Side commuter rail stations, and helps address this last mile transit connection for people who want to walk or bike and use transit to get to their place of employment. These kinds of connections are key. We saw a similar success out of the project from the Lane Transit District, which was awarded funding for a new bicycle and pedestrian bridge connection to help improve access to transit for people living and working in the Eugene area. as much as there are those success stories. Obviously, you know, many critical projects did not receive funding in the last round. And so, you know, as we look forward at the Connect Oregon 6 program, we would hope that we can continue to build projects that serve the approximately 30% of Oregonians who can't drive or don't drive, either because they're too young or they're unable and don't have a license. So these are the kinds of projects we'd look to see funded in future rounds. And just really grateful for your hard work on this issue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Questions for this panel? Representative Forsyth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Ms. Butterfield, I was looking at the Oregon State Rail Plan memo that you created for us, and I completely agree with the assessment that we need to preserve what's left of some of these abandoned or nearly abandoned rail lines. And to my mind, it would be nice if it wasn't bike path or rail, if it could be a combination. If you've ever been down around Oaks Park and you see the short rail line that goes to Milwaukee, you'll note that they've created the path next to the rail, and they, you know, have found ways for that to be compatible. I'm just wondering if we can consider something like that for the old Southern Pacific line to Tillamook, which is currently out of service between Portland and Tillamook because of a washout a number of years ago. I know there's some talk about turning that into a path system, but it would be, I think, unfortunate to lose that rail capacity. And I was wondering what your thoughts might be on that. That was a very long lead up to a question.
Mm-hmm. But good question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gorsuch. I haven't spoken with anyone about the Tillamook Railroad for some time, but the last time I did speak to a representative, they said that would be terribly, terribly expensive to save that for rail. Okay. But I'm happy to go back and ask again.
And follow. And I know that they are using the Tillamook end of that line for apparently there's a, I think it's Oregon Coast Railroad that leases a section of it. But, yeah, I know that bridge washout was a tremendous problem.
Yeah, that's really too bad.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, did you have? Oh, Madam Chair, he has a response.
Yes, sir.
Chair McEwen, Representative Gorsuch, just a very quick comment on that subject. I know that one of the projects that was that submitted an application in the Connect Oregon 5 process was to complete the Salmonberry Corridor Trail between Barview and Garibaldi.
Right.
I'm not familiar with the details of the project application or why it didn't receive funding, but those types of proposals are already coming forward. Just wanted to put
and
that on the record.
And that would be part of that system, I believe.
Yeah. Mr. Callery.
Thank you.
I didn't say much about the Coos Bay Rail Line because you've heard me talk about that a lot in the past, but I will tell you that we are working with some of the communities in Lane County to find areas where it is safe to put a bike ped trail next to the rail line. And there is a specific project that the city of Vinita is pursuing. You know, we looked at it very carefully at first, and our concern will be met by the creation of a fence that would prevent people from getting onto the actual rail structure. We also have a project in South Coos County that wants to do the same thing. That's going to be a little more of a challenge because there's quite a few timber trestles in the same area. So it would be difficult to put a trail right on the trestle, but maybe we can create something that works.
Right.
So.
Thank you. Yes, Representative.
And in fact, along that, it keeps changing names, so I can't remember the current name of it. It used to be Samuel's Pacific. I don't know what it is now. But right along there, they do have the paved trail, then they have the cyclone fence, and then the railroad. So right. they've done something very similar to that. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our final panel consists of Mr. Craig Honeyman and Mary Stern. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Chair McEwen, members of the committee, my name is Craig Honeyman, representing the League of Oregon Cities. Very pleased to have been invited to testify today on the city perspective with regards to Connect Oregon. The League has supported Connect Oregon since its inception in the year in 2005, and we, our cities, have supported and participated in the benefits of Connect Oregon 1 through 5. Although city priorities remain funding, increased funding for street repair and maintenance, we understand this is a different pot of money. This is a different program altogether. And so we do continue, will continue to support Connect Oregon in its sixth version. To date, Connect Oregon has funded 43 projects in 26 cities to the tune of $204 million, from Portland to Ontario, from the Dalles to Klamath Falls. Projects have included air cargo projects, air terminal expansion, runway construction, including especially extensions, freight rail depots, streetcars, transit operations facilities, rail corridor safety, Coastal Oregon Air Service, dock repair, greenway trails, and bike share programs. Most, if not all, have created jobs and induced economic development. As Mr. Campbell pointed out, Connect Oregon is currently really the only major non-roadway funding ongoing program in Oregon. Task forces in the past and others have looked to find ways to dedicate that funding, dedication having proved problematic. Continuation of this program should not be. The League's preference also was to have this conversation in the context of a comprehensive transportation package, but failing that, the League supports the amendments to, I believe the bill will be House Bill 2274, and a funding level commensurate with the governor's proposed budget of $58.6 million. We'd like to ask for more for Connect Oregon, as the Oregon Transportation Forum has. But if you look at our testimony from last Friday, I need to be consistent with what the message that I gave the Ways and Means Committee, and that is that cities have other infrastructure priorities for lottery funds as well, so it would be disingenuous for me to ask for too much. Comments on the proposed amendments. The switch from the grant to a loan program, I guess I'm fairly ambivalent about that. I guess really what it does is it reflects reality, what the program has evolved to. Mm-hmm. Grant recipients, I believe, should always have skin in the game. There's no question about that. The increase from 20% to 30% of the match probably drives some smaller cities, especially, to the sidelines. And requiring projects that have a longer useful life score higher probably makes absolute good sense for the reasons Mr. Campbell addressed. I'd like to understand a little more about what that means in application and reality, but it certainly makes sense to me. I guess what I'd like to conclude with is that we hope the League hopes that continued reliance on input from modal stakeholders, advisory committees, and from local governments as represented in the various acts around the state will continue. I believe the current program sets aside 10% of funding for qualifying grants in five ODOT regions around the state. I hope that policy continues. You'll see that in the amendments, but I'm assuming that's not amended out. So in conclusion, the attributes of Connect Oregon remain the fact that it's multimodal. It emphasizes multimodal interconnectivity, leverages investment through bonding, and allows cities of all sizes and locations in Oregon to compete. So with that, I'll conclude my remarks, and I again appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, sir. Chair McEwen, members of the committee, my name is Mary Stern, and I'm here on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties. And I hope the space between us here doesn't reflect our relationship with the city.
We make no assumption, Ms. Stern.
Thank you. We really do appreciate the opportunity to come and speak with you today and appreciate you inviting us to come. Thank you so much, Chair McEwen. AOC strongly supports the Connect Oregon program, promoting economic development throughout the state. We like the name change. It would be great that we're all calling it the same thing, so that's terrific. We appreciate having the involvement of a county commissioner and judge from each county as a member of every act, and several of whom are engaged in the committee that makes recommendations to the OTC for Connect Oregon funding. And we do understand and appreciate your concerns around conflicts of interest and support those changes as well. AOC, of course, was hoping Connect Oregon 6 would be part of a comprehensive transportation package. You've heard that already. We also would have preferred the $100 million level of funding, but as Mr. Honeyman said, we too at AOC have supported a House Bill 5030 and the funding through bonding there at the $58.6 million level. Regarding the loans, it's really a matter of transparency. It's what's going on in the project, that they're all grants and not loans. And if that's the way you want to move forward, we're fine with that. Regarding the requirement that there be a useful life expectancy that offers maximum benefit to the state, we think that's a smart addition, and we like that criteria as well. We would ask that you not increase the minimal level of the match from 20% to 30%. Many of the counties, as you know, are already struggling to make ends meet, and getting the 20% is difficult enough without raising that to 30%. And the OTC and review committees are currently already considering the amount of match as one of the criteria. So I don't really see a need to increase that. It's weighted more for those, I think it can be weighted more for those who are giving or providing more of a match level. And otherwise, the inability of local jurisdictions, particularly those in the rural areas, to meet the higher level of match may exclude important and necessary projects. And as Craig referenced the 10% funding in each of the regions, you may find that in the more rural regions that does present a problem. So with that, I'm open for questions, and thanks again for including us.
We appreciate you taking the time to be here. Are there any questions for Mr. Nostrani? All right. Thank you so much for your comments. I'm going to go ahead and close the informational hearing. There is no formal action. This is an amendment. This will be sent down to rules to be attached to the bill. I believe it possibly this Wednesday. We'll see. But things are in a state of flux, as you all know, right now. And we're on a very tight turnaround with short notice. So I guess watch your phones and your computers and see what's happening, because we all are surprised at times, as everyone else is at the moment. This, in essence, concludes the work of this committee for this session. I don't believe, Mr. Brennan, we have any other bills outstanding. Is that correct?
That takes care of our bill, Madam Chair, yes.
We may be indulging ourselves in a field trip or two as this session winds down to better educate ourselves about transportation issues around the state. It's been a delight to have this committee together. We're not formally closed yet, but in a week or two, you may see us formally closing. We are pleased to have had some work to do this session, and I think we've done good work. Any comments from the committee at this point in time as we begin to wind down? Time short.
This has been good.
It's been really nice, and I think it's accurate, Chair, that maybe only one bill came out on party lines. I think everything else was near unanimous or had strong bipartisan support. So thank you for your work.
Well,
Chair.
And I will comment. I had not prepared comments for this meeting, but I will say my vice chairs, we have met on a weekly basis, and it's been wonderful to have them work in a very collaborative way with me, and I appreciate it very much. We've worked through everything that's come. We've looked at everything carefully, and I hadn't really given that thought and put a point on that, but that's an observation that's quite interesting. So thank you for that, Vice Chair Davis.
Thank you.
And on that note today, I believe we are adjourned. Thank you all. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Hey, I believe we